Hello everyone, this is Danny here. Thank you for listening to another episode, this time about short-term rentals. Before we jump into the episode, I just want to make sure you know that we are holding two webinars. Those are free webinars, educational webinars, on Thursday, April 4th at 6 p.m. Pacific time, and Thursday, May 16th, at 6 p.m. Pacific time. You are most welcome to register to both webinars. The link is going to be in the description. And I just want to let you know we do maybe 3 to 4 webinars a year, not too many. And every one of them, it's critical for us to make sure we provide value, information, and education. Those are not sales webinars. Those are really, truly about sharing and telling and educating. So I hope to see you online for a change on one of the webinars that are coming up on April 4th and May 16th, 2024. Description details are in the description. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode about short-term rentals. Bye-bye. I want to take a moment and talk to you about short-term rentals, aka Airbnb. Short-term rental is obviously a more of a wider term, but we all know that for the most part, we are referring to the Airbnb as the main player in that category. From time to time, we get clients of ours, either active clients that already been working with us or new clients that are in the process of buying long-term rental, asking us about short-term rentals. And I think, or I would like to share a little bit, to put things in perspective a little bit, because I'm not sure that type of information is really out there when you think about the short-term rentals and the Airbnb concept. While it sounds very, very sexy, I want to put it a little bit in reality. This is not about this is a good way to go or a bad way to go, right? There's no such thing as good way or bad way. I think there's just how you think you will benefit most. But when it comes to the Airbnb and short-term rentals, my wish is for everybody to have the proper information to make a better determination if this is a good avenue for you or not, or maybe how I like to look at it, in what capacity it could be a good avenue or not for yourself. So let me dive into a few things so you can have a better understanding when you're even considering Airbnbs or not. So we are all about remote investing in other states where the numbers make more sense, right? And only do long-term rentals. But I have done short-term rentals myself over the years, not a lot, but I've definitely had the pleasure of trying to invest, or handling, short-term rentals. So here are a couple of things I want you to know about short-term rentals. Number one. When you are doing a short-term rental remotely, not locally in your backyard or near your house that you are the manager, in a capacity that you need to hire some sort of a management company or someone to help you run, and I'm not just talking about the cleaning, I'm talking about running the operation, right? Airbnb, short-term rental, in a way, it's like a small business that has really traffic coming in and out, right? Like clients are coming in and out, they're shopping online on the website, but they're showing up to our business when they set up the time to rent it out. So first of all, if you are operating in an area that doesn't have a super strong demand and you do not you probably need at least 75% occupancy in order to really make the numbers work, right? I'm generalizing here, but just to give you a head, like a clear direction. Here's what's gonna happen. A property management company, those property management companies usually charge a relatively high fee that eats into the cash flow. Not a problem, that's part of the business. Second thing, compared to long-term rental, as an owner, you are responsible for supplementing all the, you know, the toilet paper and soap and all of that. Maybe, you know, no big deals, you know, small numbers, but you're still responsible for it. You are responsible for the utilities, water, gas, electricity, Wi-Fi, all of those things are gonna come on you. You're gonna be the one paying for them. And guests tend to not be minded about them too much. So it will probably be a higher utility expense than you would normally think when you're comparing it to your own home and your, you know, maybe a long-term rental, which is on the tenant anyway. Of course, insurance, property taxes, all of those things. Insurance, by the way, maybe a little bit higher. Property taxes, maybe a little bit higher, probably not. So also things to take into consideration. Wear and tear is gonna be higher because you have more traffic coming in and out. So there will be some more wear and tear on the property, very likely. So now you have a property that not only that some of the expenses that compared to a long-term rental are on your, you are responsible for, they're actually higher than a normal type of property because there's less minded people for those things. Higher wear and tear as well. And then management company charges a fee. All of that is gonna eat so much into the income. Right, by the way, we have Airbnb fees and those fees and maybe even taxes, so it's kind of tricky. So all of a sudden, if you have an Airbnb that it's close to 100% occupied, and you're probably doing very well. If you are in an area where you're not getting to probably more of, you know, of 75% occupied, by the way, 100% occupied on the Airbnb, it's only if you list it long term, because you're always going to have a day or two or three between, you know, between guests. So that's always going to be tricky. So I don't think you can really have 100% unless it's a long term Airbnb kind of a thing. So you're going to have higher expenses. You are challenged with the occupancy by the nature of the short term rentals, and also maybe the location is not, doesn't supply the demand for close to, you know, more than 75% 75% occupancy. Management, we talked about that. Management fee, we talked about that. On the top of that, in the past 2 years, in many parts of the country, not everywhere, but many parts of the country, there is so much saturation post-COVID of the Airbnb, the prices of Airbnb really drop in many places around the country. Not everywhere, there are always gonna be those pockets that there's super high demand for Airbnbs and you'll do well there. But if you're not part of those pockets, then you're probably gonna be more challenged because there's so many Airbnbs came into the marketplace. It's actually created, you know, diluted the or increased the supply, and for that reason, reduce the nightly rate. On the top of that, Airbnb as a technological platform, I think it's an amazing tool, really good. As long as you don't need support. If you're an owner who's looking for a platform support, let's just say they're doing a lousy job, to be delicate. By the way, if you're a guest and you're looking for support, you're also gonna get a lousy, you know, support. By the way, when a guest comes to your house and they're unhappy with the Airbnb support, not has nothing to do with you, but the Airbnb support, let's see, who do you think is gonna get the review or the lower rating review? Airbnb or your property, right? So in a way, you're going to be subjected to the review, even if it's not your problem, but something that has to do with Airbnb, because the guest, you know, the guest has a beef with Airbnb, and they're going to take it on you. So if you add all those items together, you may come to the realization that Airbnb short-term rental is not as attractive as it may sound. Plus, it may create some more stress when you're like nervous that your house has not been booked or is not being, you know, it's vacant a lot of the time. So again, something to think about. Now, there are two situations that it's maybe could maybe work. One probably yes, one probably, one is a maybe. And those are, one is if you're actually an owner and you live next to your property, and your property, let's just say something in the backyard, something, you know, down the road, something nearby, and you don't use property managers and you take care of the property, then you're gonna save a significant portion of the income, and that will probably help you make it work. So I think as an owner operating, not a manager operating, saving on those costs, of course you're gonna pay for it with your time, but you're not subject to those fees, you'll probably do better. Another situation is if you already have a house that you are considering or even purchased as a second home, which you like to go to visit maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months, a traditional second home, and in between it gets as an Airbnb and that helps with offsetting the cost, I think that also makes sense. That is probably something that benefiting you as well. And there is a third option, and that option is sometimes, and I see it more and more, it's kind of more of a new thing, that people are setting up their houses, are setting up a house as an Airbnb, maybe operating it for a year or two, and then turning around and selling it. Basically, they're selling a business, right? They're saying, hey, it's already an operational Airbnb, just take over it. There is, which is really great, because it already has the photos, already has the setup, you know, the property is already set up with everything Airbnb operational, not just Airbnb ready. Sounds good. Maybe they even can show you the past 12 months of booking, which is unbelievable amazing, right? However, past booking is not a prediction of future bookings, right? That's one. Right, if the Airbnb market kind of crashed, you're going to end up with maybe paying a high price for a property that it's no longer providing those income. And by the way, that has nothing to do with the seller. They didn't do anything. It's just something happened in the marketplace. The second thing is, many times when you take over a property that has all the reviews and maybe even it's a high rating, what is it called? The highest rating review. There's this category in on Airbnb. Once you switch it over to another owner, so you're basically moving it from one account to another, you're switching it over to a new account. As much as I remember, those reviews do not come with the property. Those reviews are related to the account and not to the property. So all of a sudden, you may have missed on those reviews and you have to rebuild them. Superhost, that was what I was looking for. Have to rebuild them. So it could be a situation where it's a single property with one manager who's a super host and you're just switching, you know, the account details, and that's not a problem. But many times you have super hosts or companies that are managing multiple properties and you are taking one of those properties out and you are no longer a super host, assuming you're not an already active super host. So that is something that is jeopardizing your future bookings just because you switch it out. So when you're thinking about it, if you're considering it, if you're managing it yourself, it could work. If this is your second home and you're anyway have it and you're like, hey, I might as well, sounds terrific. If you're thinking about doing it remotely with a professional management company, that will probably be very challenging to cash flow, just because all the things that I mentioned earlier. So I just wanted to bring it to your attention, which again, it's not impossible. It's just maybe what's the best way to do it. And I wanted you to be aware of those little nuances that if you're not aware of them from the get-go, you may find yourself in a challenging situation. It's very challenging. Well, it's not very challenging. It's just gonna be a hustle to take a house that it's already set up with for Airbnb with furniture and everything and move everything out or sell or something like that remotely and transitioning into a traditional rental, which there shouldn't be a problem unless you bought it for a price that representing the income of an Airbnb and now you're renting it at the price that representing traditional market that maybe it's $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 below what you were banking on. One way or another, thank you very much for listening. I wish you only success. Have a terrific rest of your day. Bye-bye.